All right, so get this. We're diving into a true comeback story, the March for Larry Butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
This species is threatened in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hit hard by this awful drought back in 2018.
Right.
But it rebounded.
Yeah.
And like with a resilience that surprised even the scientists who were studying it.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's a story that I think highlights not just how tough this butterfly is, but also how interconnected nature can be.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at a study from the island of Gotland in the Baltic Sea, where researchers tracked the marsh fritillary population and its host plant across hundreds of habitat patches.
So you've got maps, data, butterflies.
Yeah.
This sounds like my kind of detective story.
Uh-huh.
What did this drought do to the marsh fritillary population?
Oh.
Like, paint us a picture of just how bad it got.
So picture this 2018, the driest summer on record for Gotland.
Wow.
Really bad news for the marsh fritillary. It was devastating. Across its habitat, the areas where the butterfly was found decreased by over 30%.
That's huge.
It is.
How did scientists measure that, though?
Right?
Like, did they count every single butterfly?
So they didn't count every single one. They used a method called transect walks.
Okay.
Imagine walking a set path through the habitat and just recording every single marsh fritillary that you see.
Yeah.
By doing these walks over time and in different spots, they get a reliable estimate of the population.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So 30% drop in the areas where they were found, that's alarming.
Yeah.
But it gets worse.
It does get worse.
Oh, no.
So in one cluster of habitats, they saw an 80% reduction.
Oh, my goodness.
In the population size. And even more concerning, that number might be an underestimate.
Wow.
Even in the areas where they were still present, the actual number had probably plummeted.
80% reduction. That's a staggering loss.
It is.
I'm already wondering how they bounce back from that.
Right. Yeah.
Did the researchers expect this kind of decline? Well, or were they caught off guard by how vulnerable this population was?
The drought was unprecedented.
Yeah.
But it revealed a fascinating aspect of how the marsh fritillary lives as a metapopulation.
I've heard that term before, but honestly, it's always been a bit fuzzy for me.
Oh, yeah.
Could you break down what a metapopulation is?
Yes.
And why it matters in this story?
Absolutely. So think of it like this. Imagine a bunch of islands all scattered across the ocean.
Okay.
Each of these islands is a habitat patch
for
the marsh fritillary.
Right.
They can fly between those islands.
Right.
That's a metapopulation.
Okay.
A network of smaller interconnected populations.
So there's not just one big population.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of smaller ones linked together.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see where this is going.
Mm.
Those connections probably play a big role in their recovery.
A huge role.
Right.
That's where the story takes a hopeful turn. Because even though they were pushed to the brink, the marsh fritillary population bounced back.
They did.
Remarkably quickly, within just 1 year.
A year.
1 year.
That's astonishing.
It is.
Most butterfly populations take so much longer to recover from losses that big. Were the researchers surprised?
They were definitely surprised.
By this quick turnaround, what factors contributed to this speedy comeback?
It turns out the interconnected nature of their habitat, that metapopulation structure, acted like a safety net.
Okay.
Butterflies from patches that weathered the drought were able to spread out and recolonize the areas that had emptied out.
So they had backup populations, so to speak.
Yeah.
They could repopulate the areas that were hit the hardest.
Exactly.
It's like they had a built-in insurance policy against extinction.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
This highlights a really crucial point. Connectivity is key.
Yeah.
Especially as we see growing threats like climate change and habitat loss.
Right. Those connections become escape routes and lifelines for the whole species.
Exactly.
So we have this incredible recovery story.
We do.
But I'm guessing there's a twist. I mean, things can't be that simple in nature, can they?
You're right to be suspicious.
Okay.
There is another layer to the story that adds a little intrigue.
Okay.
And that's the curious case of the missing host plant.
Oh, now that piques my curiosity.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
All right. So remember, the marsh fritillary is a specialist.
Mm-mm.
It relies heavily on one particular plant,
Successa
pratensis.
Right.
That's where they lay their eggs and what the caterpillars need to survive.
So what happened to the Successa pratensis during this drought?
Well, the drought really hit the host plant hard.
Oh, no.
And here's the twist.
Yeah.
Even though the butterfly population bounced back strong,
Successa
pratensis
continued
to struggle.
Really?
Researchers found way fewer plants.
Wow.
And the ones they did find were smaller than before the drought.
Wait a minute. So the butterflies are thriving?
Yeah.
and their main food source is still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
What are they eating if their host plant is declining?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
It's a real head-scratcher.
Yeah.
It suggests that there might be more to the story than meets the eye.
Okay.
They still need the Successa pratensis to survive.
But something else is allowing them to flourish, even with less of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lay some theories on me.
Okay.
What could explain this?
So one possibility is that the drought, while devastating overall, might have actually reduced competition among the surviving Successa plants.
Okay.
So with fewer plants around, the ones that did make it could have benefited.
From less competition.
Exactly. Less competition for water and nutrients.
So less competition means the remaining Successa could be healthier.
Potentially.
And provide more nutrition per plant.
Exactly.
Even if there are fewer of them.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Another interesting possibility is that the drought stress itself could have changed the chemical makeup of the plant, maybe making it more nutritious or maybe more attractive to the butterflies for laying their eggs.
So it's like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but for plants.
Yeah.
And that strength somehow is helping the butterflies.
Exactly. Plants are really complex.
Yeah.
They produce different chemicals when they're under stress, and these changes might actually make them more appealing to insects, at least for a little while.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a reminder that stress isn't always a bad thing.
Right.
Sometimes it can lead to some surprising adaptations.
That's fascinating. Okay. So I'm starting to see how this all fits together.
Yeah.
But are there any other theories that the researchers are exploring?
There is another really fascinating possibility.
Okay.
The drought may have also impacted the marsh fritillary's enemies.
Okay. They're predators?
They're predators like parasitic wasps.
Aerolithic wasps?
That lay their eggs inside.
Uh-huh.
Butterfly caterpillars.
Oh, wow.
If the wasp population also suffered during the drought, it could mean less pressure.
Oh, that makes sense.
On the caterpillars.
Less predation pressure?
Less predation.
Right.
Potentially boosting their survival rate.
So it's not just about how much food is available, but also the pressures they face from these predators.
Exactly.
The fewer predators mean more caterpillars surviving to become butterflies.
Exactly.
Even with a limited amount of Successa pratensis.
That's right.
To feed on.
And this just highlights how complex ecosystems are.
Yeah.
It's like this delicate web of interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And even just one event, like a drought, can just totally change the whole system in unexpected ways.
Yeah. So we have these three fascinating possibilities.
Mm-hmm, we do.
Reduced competition for resources. Changes in the nutrition of the plants.
Yeah.
And then reduced predation pressure from those parasitic wasps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's even a combination of all three.
It very well could be.
Right.
Yeah.
It underscores the importance of research.
It does.
Right now, we just have these puzzle pieces, but we're still working on putting the whole picture together.
Absolutely.
But from a conservation perspective,
what
are the implications of this ongoing mystery?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
While it's encouraging to see the population bounce back, this might not be sustainable in the long run.
You're saying that if the Successa pratensis doesn't fully recover, the butterflies might eventually hit a ceiling.
They might.
Their population could still be limited even if they have developed those short-term adaptations.
Exactly. The fate of the marsh fritillary is tied to the health of its host plant.
Right.
And that brings us back to habitat connectivity,
which
we talked about earlier.
Right. Those connected patches acted like life rafts.
Exactly.
During the drought.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still vital for the survival of species.
It adds another layer of complexity.
It does. It's a powerful reminder that we need to think holistically.
We do.
We need to consider not just individual species, but the relationships within their whole ecosystem.
Absolutely. Protecting and restoring habitat is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to understand these interactions between the species and the environment.
It's like we're pulling back the curtain
on
the intricate stage play of nature and seeing all the behind-the-scenes connections that make the whole thing work.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And this case study, with all its twists and turns, offers some valuable takeaways for conservation.
Speaking of takeaways, what are the key points our listeners should be thinking about?
Okay. I think one of the biggest takeaways is that nature always has a few surprises up its sleeve.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that a drought would actually help the butterfly population when their food source is diminished?
Pretty counterintuitive.
It is.
Yeah.
It reminds us that there's still so much we don't know about how these ecosystems work.
Yeah.
And how different species are adapting to these changes.
It really challenges our assumptions.
It does.
About what success even looks like.
Yeah.
In nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this case,
right,
the quick rebound of the marsh fritillary might actually be hiding a deeper vulnerability.
It might.
Right? If that host plant doesn't recover their long-term future is still uncertain.
It's like a cautionary tale.
It is.
It reminds us to look beyond those short-term trends and consider the long-term health of the whole ecosystem.
It's not just about numbers.
No.
It's about all those relationships.
Absolutely.
They keep things in balance.
Yeah. That keeps everything going.
Yeah.
And that brings us back to habitat connectivity.
Right.
Which we've been talking about.
Yeah. Those connected patches didn't just help the butterflies survive.
No.
They're also essential for their future.
For their future, for sure.
So those connections are like escape routes.
Yeah.
But they're also pathways for resilience.
Exactly.
They allow those butterflies to move and adapt as their environment changes.
Absolutely. And this applies to all kinds of different species, not just butterflies.
Yeah.
We're talking about a world that's changing really quickly.
Yeah.
Connectivity allows for gene flow.
Yeah.
Which allows populations to adapt.
To new challenges.
To new challenges like climate change.
It's disease outbreaks.
Habitat loss.
It's like we're giving nature the tools to evolve and thrive.
Thrive.
So when we're thinking about conservation, it's not just about protecting these isolated areas of habitat.
Yeah. It's about the whole network.
Yeah.
The connections.
Yeah.
We need to give life a way to move and adapt.
It goes even deeper than that.
It does.
This research shows us how important it is to understand those interactions.
Those really subtle interactions.
Between species and their environment.
Yeah. We need to go beyond just counting how many there are and start understanding the connections
between the marsh fritillary and its host plant.
It's like we're switching from this 2D picture of nature to a 3D one.
To this high definition.
High definition,
We're seeing all the depth and the nuance.
And that's where the real insights are.
That's where they are.
It reminds me of what you said before about nature having surprises up its sleeve.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect way to think about our final takeaway.
What's the one thought you want to leave our listeners with?
Okay.
So this, the next time you see a butterfly, just take a second to really appreciate how complex its journey is and the web of connections that make its life even possible.
Yeah.
These creatures that seem so fragile.
They do.
Show us how resilient nature is.
Yeah.
The mystery of adaptation.
Right.
And how important it is to protect the balance of nature.
Beautifully put. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive today.
Awesome.
A big thank you to our expert.
Oh, thank you.
For explaining this fascinating world of the marsh fritillary butterfly.
It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, stay curious, keep exploring, and remember that even our small actions to protect nature can have ripple effects.
They can.
Far beyond
what we can imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah.